Our second reading this morning is from Acts, the end of chapter 10 and the first part of chapter 11. This is a continuation of sorts. 2 weeks ago, when we ordained officers, we looked at a part of this story. It's carried over in basically two chapters. But let me give you a little bit of background. Peter has had a vision from God, and in that vision, he's been convicted to go to a man named Cornelius and to spend time with him. And while he has spent time with him, he has encountered Gentile believers, which is a new evolution in the faith. And this is the end of his experience, and then him explaining himself to the council in Jerusalem. And then I want to add, it's not on the screen, but I want to add the last two verses that finish the story, verses 17 and 18. So here is the story, part of the story of Peter's experience in the book of Acts. Listen in it for God speaking to our experience. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, and they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. So Peter went up to Jerusalem, where the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of the uncircumcised and ate with them." So starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. And then this is the end of the chapter. Peter continues, "So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" And when they heard this, they had no further objections. They praised God and said, "So then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, grant us the repentance that leads to life. And may we never stand in your way, but instead follow Christ. We pray it in his name. Amen. So some of you, I don't know where the age cutoff is for this, but when I was young, there was an animated special that would be on once in a while that was a presentation of Dr. Seuss's story, The Sneetches. I don't know if that's familiar to you or not, but we have a picture. In case you don't know, this is a sneetch. They're tall and they're yellow and they live on the beach, and some have green stars on their bellies and others do not. And it turns out to a sneetch, this matters a lot. The star-bellied sneetches look down on the rest. They say they're the worst kind of sneetches and we are the best. And this was the way that the sneetches went about, with green stars on the inside and no stars on the out. But that all changed the day Sylvester McMonkey McBean showed up with his amazing, incredible star-making machine. He could, he claimed, put a star on any sneetch for the small, modest fee of just $3 each. So the no stars lined up, and quick as a wink, there were stars on their bellies in green permanent ink. But the star bellies were angry and met to complain. This wasn't okay. They didn't like change. They were the best, but now what could they do? How would they tell just who was who? Into the meeting walked Sylvester McBean and smiled and told of another machine, one that could take the star off any sneetch, a considerable bargain at only $10 each. So the no stars got stars and the star bellies had none, but it wasn't the end. In fact, it had only begun. And soon snitches were running from machine to machine, handing over their money like nothing you've seen. And by the end of the day, two things were true. They were all broke, and no one knew who was who. And McBean was laughing as he drove off the beach, and he said to himself, counting his money, that you can't teach a snitch. What happened instead, though, was quite a surprise. They may have lost all their money, but they had gotten quite wise. Stars or no stars stopped mattering that day. They said, we are all the best snitches. And it was better that way. Now, even a young mind gets the point. Prejudice is foolish, and it has a cost. There is a price to be paid. A lesson, it seems, we have yet to learn. It is human nature, I guess, to draw circles for a variety of reasons, so that some are in and some are out. And then we give us and them a label to identify who is the in and who is the out. And we love these labels. And increasingly, it seems to me that we divide up by them. Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, religious, atheist, black, white, gay, straight. It's not enough to be an American. We have to know what kind of American you are. You have to have a label. You have to define what circle you're in. And the church is not immune. It's not enough to be Christian. You need a denominational label. And even then, there's more to it. Right or left, liberal, conservative, Bible-believing, progressive, traditional, contemporary, it never stops. And sometimes we seem more committed to these adjectives than we should be. Often, whatever we modify Christian with becomes more important to us than the label Christian itself. We define ourselves not with the reality of Christian, but with some other circle, some other fence that we've made around it with the label we wear. Consider the experience of a man who wrote this story some of you may have heard. In his words, I was walking across a bridge and I saw a man standing. He looked depressed and dejected and I was afraid. So I said, what's the matter? Are you okay? And he said, I think I'm going to jump. And I said, don't. He said, why? I said, well, there must be something to live for. Like what? He asked. I said, are you religious? Do you believe in anything? And he said, yes. I said, me too. Are you a Christian? Yes. I'm also a Christian. Are you a Catholic or a Protestant? Protestant. I'm a Protestant. Are you Episcopalian or Baptist or Presbyterian? I'm a Baptist. Are you kidding? I'm Baptist. Are you Baptist Church of God or Baptist Church of the Lord? I'm Baptist Church of God. I don't believe this. I'm Baptist Church of God. Are you Reformed Baptist Church of God or Reformed Baptist? Or are you Reformed Baptist Church of God or Original Baptist Church of God? I'm in the Reformed Baptist Church of God. Me too. This is amazing. See, you're not alone. Are you Reformed Baptist Church of God Reformation of 1879? Or Reformed Baptist Church of God Reformation of 1915? And he said, Reformed Baptist Church of God Reformation 1915. And I said, die, heretic scum, and pushed him off the bridge. The whole reason that I revisited this passage 2 weeks after looking at it is in verse 2 of chapter 11, where Peter is confronted by the circumcised believers. Think about that for a second. The church is brand new, still wearing diapers, barely moving yet. And before there were denominations or reformations or splits, some have already called themselves the circumcised believers. And they didn't want to call anyone else believers at all. The circumcised believers seem to have thought that if you weren't both of those things, you weren't either of those things. And they're so confident that they criticize Peter, the founding apostle of the church, a man who served at the side of Christ, who was at the Last Supper, and who was in the garden, and who stood next to the cross, and who witnessed the resurrection, who preached on Pentecost and risked his life to share the gospel. But now he has offended the circumcised believers because he ate with the Gentiles. The fellowship with those who aren't marked, which is literally true, but symbolizes that they aren't Jewish. They're not good enough. They're of the wrong sort. They're in the wrong circle. They have the wrong label. They're the worst kind of sneak. And what's amazing about the story is how wrong the church is. How completely backwards they have it. God has done this incredible thing. God is shattering the barriers with which the people have lived. God is crushing the boundaries to include others, reaching out into the Gentiles. God has changed Peter's heart. Peter, who once looked at the Gentiles and saw unclean, who wouldn't enter their houses, who wouldn't sit at their tables, who wouldn't share their food, who wouldn't interact with them at all, God has led Peter to a different place. And Peter is now being criticized by those who add yet another label to Christian. Those for whom just being a believer isn't enough. The circumcised believers. And Peter has to defend himself to those who think they are above and want to keep others out. And amazingly, to their deep credit, they hear his story. They hear and see the truth in it. And they praise God, and it says they have no further objections. I've been in church for a while, served in several congregations. You know how often there are no further objections when something gets settled? It's rare in my experience, maybe a miracle. Wouldn't it be amazing if our prejudices went away that fast? If God did something in us and after encountering God's work, we found that the labels that used to be important didn't matter much. This kind of Christian, that kind of American, that color of person. Wouldn't it be amazing if the grace of Christ simply led us to see past all of that? Well, the truth is, it should. It should, if we understand that Christian is the most important label we wear. The other words may help us locate ourselves on the map, but Christian tells us where home is. Tells us who we are. What's at the center. Several years ago, long before he was President Trump, I watched Mr. Trump on The Celebrity Apprentice, and on that particular day in the boardroom, if you know the show, it was a celebrity version, and Stephen Baldwin was in the room, and in the boardroom, Mr. Trump was trying to get people to identify who had been wrong or something, and Stephen Baldwin, who is a Christian, outspoken Christian, wasn't really going along, and Mr. Trump said, "Stephen, you're very religious, aren't you?" And Stephen said, "I wouldn't say that, Mr. Trump." He says, "But you are, right? You're very religious." And Baldwin said, "I would say that I'm a man of faith." And I always remember that. I haven't forgotten it. Rather than wear the label religious, which invites a lot of questions about which circle you're in, Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, Reformation of 1521 or 1736. Instead, I'm a person of faith. Seems to me that gets at the heart of it. I think that's really good. It moves the focus from which label do I wear and puts it on God, puts it on Christ. It's about what I have faith in, not which circle I occupy, not which club I belong to. Who do I trust to guide my life? Who do I look to for strength and grace and peace? Where do I find truth? When we get past all the labels, the only one that matters is Christian. Follower of Christ. Once you stand in that circle, you don't need the others. You see past them. You see that our purpose is inviting others in, inviting them to live past all of those little labels, to share the good news that all are welcome, that grace is a big circle. It seems like in this world we live in and in all the places of it, we are given the opportunity every day to draw circles, to make lines and use labels that keep us in and keep others out. And it seems to me the text is a wonderful reminder that that's not what God is about. God is about oneness, about unity, about breaking down walls and erasing labels, about teaching His people what love looks like and how to do it, teaching us how to see all past all the stuff that doesn't matter and see what matters most. Teaching us how to be people of faith. People who follow Jesus. Scripture suggests, if not outright shows, that the more labels you wear, the more chance there is that you're wrong about at least a few of them, and quite possibly about what God is up to in the world. It also shows the good news that of all the labels out there, we only need one. Only one truly matters most: follower of Christ. Let us be cautious and gracious before we criticize those in different circles. Because our mission is not to keep separate from them. Our mission is to invite them in, into the large circle of Christ's grace, where God has invited all of us to share.